Stand with me, please. Take your Bibles and find Matthew 14. And while you're doing that, the video talked about the sacred marriage. These books are available in the foyer at the merch center over by the cafe, and you can pick those up if you want to. Encourage you to be here this Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. We'll start off in the gym this coming Wednesday night. Also, there'll be an ice cream social and just a good time in there. In Matthew chapter 14, we pick up our story beginning in verse 13, where verse 12, Jesus has been told that John the Baptist, his cousin, has been beheaded. Verse 13 says that he gets in a boat and he goes away. Little side note here, Jesus is grieving. When you have a difficult time in your life, it may be a job change, it may be a family, relationship, finances, you need to grieve the loss. Sometimes as Christ followers, we put on a smile and we act like everything's okay. But down deep, we're hurting. We're not acknowledging our loss. There is nothing anti-biblical, unbiblical, or wrong with grieving your loss. You need to grieve your loss. Jesus grieved the loss of his cousin. But then after a period of time, verse 13 and 14, Jesus came back and moved from grieving into giving. I just want another side note here a moment. We're glad you're here this morning, but if you are only a part of the Sunday morning service, you're missing out on God's best for your life. You need to be a part of the service, but you need to serve in another service or serve on Wednesday night. You need to serve, you need to give out, because that is part of your growing in Christ. We have needs right now in our children's ministry and other areas. I want to encourage you to not just be a part of receiving, but be a part of giving. And everyone says? So this morning, we're going to be starting a new series entitled Miracles. Today, in the next couple of Sundays, we're going to be looking in Matthew 14 at some miracles that Jesus did. I don't know if your home is like our home, but at holiday time, when the boys come home and their family comes home, my wife does not know how to fix a meal that is just getting by. I've got a picture. This is not a picture of our Thanksgiving or Christmas meal, but it could have been, because when our boys come home, she's not just fixing turkey, because one of our guys likes ham, so she fixes ham and turkeys. Our boys like green roll beans, or green bean rolls, I guess, and so she fixes that. She doesn't fix one dessert or two desserts. She fixes three or four desserts, and we sit down, we give thanks, we eat, and then we get up, and it looks like we haven't even touched it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? See, my wife is like Jesus. She believes in more than enough. And this morning, we're going to look at Jesus in Matthew chapter 14, the feeding of what we call the feeding of the 5,000. It really was probably more like 15 to 20, because the 5,000 were just the men, then the wives, their children. So when you add all that up, it's probably 15, 20,000 people he's feeding here. We pick it up, verse 15. When it was evening, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Hey, this place is desolate. The hour is already late. So send the crowds away. They may go into the villages and buy food for themselves at McDonald's or Whataburger or someplace." Jesus said to them, "They don't need to go away. You have the Big Mac with you. You give them something to eat." They said to Jesus, now, if you're looking for it in your Bible, this is paraphrased, okay? They said to Jesus, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. In other words, we just got Chick-fil-A nuggets. And Jesus said, "Bring them to me." You may be seated. Our verse of the week, verse 16, I read it a moment ago, but I want you to read the portion with me. Read it aloud if you will. Let's read together. "You give them something to eat." Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, "You give them something to eat." Don't let Jesus do it all by himself. You do what you can do, and Jesus will do what he can do. Amen? Amen. If you want to live a life of more than enough, 4 principles out of this miracle. Number one, in your notes, allow Jesus to help you. That seems so elementary. Well, of course I'm going to let Jesus help me. And yet so often we try to do it on our own strength. This is the only miracle outside of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that is recorded in all 4 Gospels, which tells us this is an important miracle and he wants us to understand some principles of it. I love the way that John talks about this, John chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus initiates the conversation in John. He says, where are we to buy bread that these may eat? What is Jesus doing? Jesus is identifying with the problem. If you're here today and you have an issue in your life, know that you are not alone. It is not a me problem. It is a we problem. Jesus is with you in the midst of your problem. Jesus said, what are we going to do? This morning, will you turn your me problem into a we problem and allow Jesus to be a part of the solution? See, when we add Jesus to the solution, when we add him to the equation, our lack becomes more than enough. Our scarcity becomes plentiful. Our need becomes overflow. Jesus said to them, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Bethel, Jesus is saying the same thing to us. Now, I'm not against the government. I'm not against the schools. But they are not God's provision to meet the need. God's provision to meet the needs in our society is through the church to rise up and to be the answer and to point people to Jesus Christ. Jesus says they don't need to go to the government. They don't need to go to the school. They need to go to the church and let the church help meet the need by pointing people to Jesus. So Philip, we'll call him the CPA of the disciples, he gets his calculator out and he starts calculating and he figures out, you know what, Jesus, we don't have enough food. In fact, he says these words, verse 17, we only, everybody say only. I've underlined that. You see it there in the notes. We only have 5 loaves and 2 small fish. See, the problem with Philip and the disciples, they were looking at their resources instead of at the source. They were looking through their perception and through what they had instead of what God had. This morning, may you take your eyes off of what you have and look at what he has, because he is more than enough. The disciples were thinking in human terms. Jesus was thinking in supernatural terms. Whenever you add Jesus into the equation, he is more than enough. Psalm 121 says, my help comes from the Lord. The disciples thought their problem was food. Their problem was not food. Their problem was faith. Your problem this morning is not finances. Your problem is faith. Now, it may be tied to how you spend. Ooh, it's getting quiet. The finances. It may be tied to how you take care of your body, which is the temple of the Lord. It may be how that you deal with relationships, but it is a spiritual issue. Every problem at its root is a spiritual problem. Every problem. Steve, it got real quiet this morning. Every problem at its root is a spiritual issue. They said to Jesus in verse 17, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. So I ask you this morning, what do you only have? Are you looking at only what you have or at what he has? Give your only to Jesus. Because Natalie, he can take your only and make more than enough. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says these words, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. And that's a great exchange. You give me your weariness, I'll give you my rest. But see, we only look at our only sometimes instead of our God who is more than enough. You may be thinking this morning, I only have this much to give. Jesus says, your only is enough. but you've got to give your only to me. And if you'll give your only to me, I'll put it with my resources, I'll put it with my strength, and it will become more than enough. Adam was only a pile of dirt. David was only a boy with a slingshot. Mary was only an unwed, pregnant teenage girl. Jesus was thought to be only a carpenter's son. But when these were coupled with God, their only became more than enough. This morning, follow the example of the disciples. Jesus said in verse 18, bring them to me. Bring your only to me. Give it to me. Whatever you have, bring it to him this morning. Because he can take your only, and it's more than enough. See, looking to God is a sign of intelligence. Some people think it's a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of intelligence. It's a sign of strength and intelligence that you know you're not able to do it. The disciples were focused on the problem, 5,000 or 15,000 to 20,000. But Jesus was focused on the solution. In your hands, there is lack. But in his hands, there is more than enough. Secondly, in your notes this morning, not only bring it to Jesus, but number two, allow Jesus to bless it. Jesus took the 5 loaves, the 2 fish, he put them in his hands. Give what you have to him. Then secondly, let him bless it. Now, some of you this morning, you struggle receiving a blessing. Somebody wants to give you something unexpected. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. And somebody comes up, they want to bless you. They want to give you something. And you struggle receiving it for a number of reasons. One, you don't think you deserve it. You think somebody else needs it. You don't need it. Whatever the case may be. And you actually are hindering your blessing by rejecting what someone else wants to give you. This morning, do you understand? God wants to bless you. There's a question. Do you understand that? Now, I'm not saying God wants to put a bigger car in your driveway. I'm not saying that God wants to give you a bigger house. I'm not saying that God wants to give you more children. I'm not saying that God wants to bless you with material things as much as he wants to bless you with the peace that passes all understanding. He wants to bless you with the joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. He wants to bless you with the love that you love and you can forgive regardless of what happens to your life. God wants to bless you. In fact, listen to what Paul said in Ephesians 1. God has blessed us with every, say every,
every.
Say every. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. The Psalmist 84 says, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. God wants to bless you. Say that with me. God wants to bless me. One more time. God wants to bless me. Will you receive it? Even as you're saying that, don't raise your hand. Even as you're saying that, I know he does, but I don't need anything else. Stop rejecting his blessing. Start receiving it. Start thanking him for it. You say, well, I don't need it. Yes, you do. If for no other reason you need it, it's so you can be a conduit to bless somebody else. God does not bless you just so you have a more comfortable life. He blesses you so you can bless somebody else. Listen to what Deuteronomy says. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and that you put your hand to, and he will bless in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Will you receive his blessing today? Number three, if you want more than enough, you've got to allow God to break you. Let's go back to the blessing. I don't like the breaking. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, it is excruciating. But hear this. He would have never fed the 15,000 to 20,000 if they had not allowed the bread and the fish to be broken. The breaking produces the multiplying, which satisfies the need. If you refuse to be broken, you also refuse to be blessed. You refused to be used. You refuse to bless others. Pastor, I don't want to be broken. Then you don't want to be blessed. Pastor, I don't want to be broken. Then you refuse to be multiplied. Pastor, I don't want to be broken. I'm tired. I'm hurt. I'm weary. I'm lonely. I'm sad. Don't you think God knows that? Sure he does. But that breaking allows you and sets you up to be multiplied. In God's economy, that which is broken is valuable. In our society, when something is broken, it loses value. Not in God's. In God's economy, when it's broken, then it's able to be used. But if you refuse the breaking, you also refuse the blessing. Psalm says, Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. And you will not reject a broken and a contrite heart or a repentant heart. You remember the story of the woman who washed the feet of Jesus with her tears, and she wiped his feet with her hair, and she broke the alabaster box that and poured that perfume, that expensive perfume, on his feet? It had to be broken to be used. You remember the story of the four friends who took their paralytic friend to Jesus? They couldn't get in through the door, so they climbed up on the roof and they broke the roof. They couldn't get to Jesus unless they broke through the roof. The breaking is important because it does something inside of us so God can do something through us. And then lastly this morning, allow Jesus to use you. Jesus gave the bread and the fish to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. Jesus wants to use you. But Pastor, you don't know what I did last night. I don't know. But I also know that he can forgive, and he wants to help you, and he wants to use you today. But, you know, I was raised in a dysfunctional home. Well, if you really, when I talk to people and they say, you know, my home wasn't normal, and my question can be, what is normal? What is normal nowadays? I don't know what your home was like. I had a great home life. But as great a home life as I had, and I realize some of you won't even know where I'm going, my home was not the Cleavers. What? Cleavers? Yeah. Beaver. Beaver, Cleaver? There we go. So you know. The rest of them are going, what is he talking about? If you're watching online, Google right now. Just like the rest of the congregation's Googling. We had issues in our home. We had problems in our home. Regina and I have been married 39 years. We have issues in our home. We have problems in our home. But we are committed to the home and to the sanctity of the marriage that God has designed. And we have committed till death do us part. And there have been times we've talked about death. But the disciples, Jesus broke it, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to the disciples, and then the disciples distributed it. It was a continuous action. Jesus involved them in the miracle. If the disciples had stopped giving, Jesus would have stopped breaking. The miracle occurred because Jesus broke and they gave. It was a dual asset. Jesus and the disciples. This may blow some of you away. Jesus actually wants to use you in miracles. Jesus wants to use you in miracles. Well, Pastor, I can't walk on water. You don't need to walk on water. You just need to be a blessing wherever you go. You need to love. You need to forgive. You need to have that peace and that joy, and you need to share it. But Jesus, he broke it, he gave it to the disciples, and they gave it away. One of the reasons that we have stopped the flow of blessing is because we start hoarding it in our pocket. While Regina and I were on vacation this past week, we received some communications from a couple of our missionaries. We have a couple of missionaries that are in our church supports that are in Vietnam. One of them, her name is Amy Farley, and Amy was talking about how that she is confined to the home there. Jason Morse and his family, Jason had communicated and was talking about how that Vietnam is now experiencing the worst outbreak with COVID that they've experienced, and the healthcare system is maxed out. Economically, things are not going well. And so they're trying to get rice to give to people to help to be able to nourish and keep people alive and help keep people going. Several weeks ago, the board made a decision that we wanted to give more money to missions. We were able to do some things. In fact, the Lord has blessed our church, and so we want to give some money to missions. So I contacted Jason, and we talked and through digital, and because of that, he let me, and through our conversation, et cetera, he let me know that for $900, you can buy a ton of rice. How many of you know a ton of rice is a ton of rice? It's a ton. It's a lot. And they would... Some of you mathematicians, you'll figure it out later. And they would take the ton and they would divide it into 22-pound bags, which is about 91 bags for a ton. And they would distribute those to those that were in need. And you're about to see a picture of a lady who has a bicycle from Vietnam. And this lady has on the back of her bicycle the white bag. That is not cocaine, okay? That is a bag of rice that you helped to purchase because you as a church said, we are not going to hoard the blessings of God. We're going to give the blessings of God. And as we give the blessings of God, God will continue to give to us. So you didn't even know it, but this past week, you blessed people in Vietnam with rice. Can somebody say praise the Lord? See, God desires to use you, but for him to use you, you've got to release what he's given to you. Hoarders often lack because they stop giving. Babies are born with closed fists. We teach them to release and to give. Some of us here don't have the closed fist, but the closed heart. This morning, may you open and give to God. When I was a kid, there was two different types of pumps at the service station. Some of you remember, some of you won't know what I'm talking about. One type of pump was called the full service pump. How many of you remember the full service pump? You would drive in, they would check, he would ask you, you actually talk to a person. They actually came to the car and said, what do you want? You say, I want X amount of leaded or unleaded or whatever, regular. And so while he's filling your car up, he would do the following. He would wash your windshield. He would check your oil and check your tire. Now, if you didn't want to go to full service, you could go to self-service. And they would have a sign saying self-service, which is where many people today are living, and now I'm not talking about a gas station. They pull in, and it's all about them. It's cheaper, and it was back then, and it's cheaper now, but in the long run, it'll cost you more if you don't check your oil. It may be cheaper today, but in 20 years, when that child won't attend the house of God because you didn't check the oil when they were 2 and 3 years old. My kid doesn't want to come to church. So? I said, so? Do they live in your home? Yeah. Do you pay the bills? Doesn't matter. They don't want to come to church. They can go live on their own. We have teenagers. We have adults. At least biologically, they're adults. Practicing premarital sex. You're acting like kids. You want the benefit of an adult without the responsibility of an adult. And then when you get married, you want to find somebody who's a virgin. Boy, that goes over well. See, God is in the manufacturing business. We're in the distribution. We're simply giving out what God's given to us. We're not manufacturing. We're not making it up. We just give it out. May God help us to allow Him to live through us so we can bless our community. Would you bow your heads this morning? With heads bowed this morning, I want to ask you a very important question. That is, do you know Jesus as your Savior and your Lord? I'm not simply asking, have you asked forgiveness? I'm asking, that's the Savior part. I'm asking also, is He the Lord? In other words, are you living to please Him? Have you submitted the control to Him? Have you yielded to Him? In just a few moments, I'm going to lead this congregation in a prayer. They're going to pray aloud after me, and in so doing, we're going to make things right with God. And as I lead us in this prayer, this congregation is going to pray aloud after me. We're going to talk to God. This is not about church membership. It's about relationship only. And so as I pray this prayer, the congregation prays after me, and we're going to make things right with God. And if you want that relationship, if you want to know and serve the God of more than enough, then I invite you to join us in this prayer. Let's pray. Father God, I open myself to You. I confess my sins. I ask Your forgiveness. I thank You for forgiving me. And I submit to You. And I declare that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. Thank You for doing what I have asked. Now, with heads bowed, respecting the privacy of others, you say, Pastor, I just asked Jesus to forgive me. You may be online watching. If you are, I want to encourage you to go to our website, BethelE3.org. Click on there where it says prayer or praise on the front and just say, today I made a decision to follow Jesus. For those of you that are in this room, you say, I made that decision. And now I want to take a step of faith. I'm going to ask you to do two things. Number one, I'm going to ask you to slip your head up and make eye contact with me. We're just going to communicate that way. And then also raise your hand up, because in a congregation this size, it's a little hard to see, and I may miss you if it's just your head. So if you this morning said, this morning I made a decision to follow Christ, would you simply slip your hand up and your head? Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Who else? This morning, Pastor, thank you. God bless you, young man. Who else? This morning, I made a decision. I want you to know that, Pastor. I made a decision to follow Jesus. Who else? Anyone else before I move on? Would everybody look right this way, and can we just give the Lord a praise offer and say, thank you, God, for what You've done? You're a good God. You're faithful, merciful, You're kind. Lord, we love You. Would you stand with me this morning? In just a few moments, I'm going to open up the altars, and we're going to conclude the service by a time around these altars. This is what God's plan for your life is. Matthew chapter 14, verse 20. After they had eaten, the Bible says they all ate and were satisfied. This morning, God wants you to leave this service satisfied. What do I mean by that? You got peace. You have joy. You have forgiven anybody who's done you wrong. Oh, Pastor, I can't do that. You may not, but he can. But you choose to do it. Well, Pastor, I don't feel it. You make the choice, the feeling will come. It may take days, it may take weeks. But you make the choice. I'm forgiving. Often before I even hit the bed, hit the floor in the morning, before I even get out of the bed, I'll say these things. I'll say to myself, I accept the full armor of the Lord, and I choose to forgive anyone who does me wrong today. So if somebody's done me wrong, I've already forgiven them before they've even done me wrong. Oh, does it hurt? Sure it hurts. I don't want to be hurt. But when somebody hurts me or they do me wrong, I've already forgiven them. I don't want to hold on to something. Because when I hold on to it, it robs me of the peace. They don't even know what's going on. Now, don't go and talk to them and say, hey, Charles, I forgive you. Charles goes, what'd you forgive me of? He doesn't even know what I'm talking about. Leave Charles out of it. Charles isn't the problem. It's between you and God. They all ate and they were satisfied. On the screen to be a picture of a guy named Hudson Taylor. He was a great missionary that opened the doors to China to bring in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Hudson Taylor made this statement years ago. He said, there are three stages to every great work of God. First is the impossible. Second, it's difficult. And third, it's done. Impossible, difficult, done. Say those three words, will you? Impossible, difficult, done.